And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Happy Friday, Wonderlings! This is Angela Bowen, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. How's everyone doing this wonderful Friday morning? I'm doing good. The sun is out. It's a nice light breeze kind of coming through the window. And heat hasn't gotten up there yet. It's currently like 8:55 in the morning. So, well, today I'm going to be discussing Season 5, Episode 20. So we're getting down there. We're getting close to the end of Season 5. This episode is entitled The Lost Weekend, which aired on April 8th, 1992. Now I'm going to read you the IMDb summary first. Let me get my foot off that bottle of water. When his parents go away for the weekend, Kevin decides to invite the guys over for a night of poker. When their poker night gets boring, they decide to invite more people over, turning Kevin's house into an out-of-control party. Well, you know how it is. You invite a couple people, they invite a couple people, they invite people that you don't even know that probably go to a different school. Word gets out, there's a damn rager at Kevin Arnold's house, Casa de Arnold. Alright, I'm going to read the booklet description. With his parents away, Kevin decides to host a poker game, which soon turns into the party of the year. I like that. Featured songs in this episode: I Want to Take You Higher by Sly and the Family Stone, and the song Judy in Disguise, in parentheses it says with glasses, okay, by John Fred. Are you serious, John Fred? And his Playboy band. That's a band name. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm not trying to throw shade at this guy for his weird parentheses with glasses or the fact that his name is John Fred. So, but it's kind of cool. There's a drawing on here that says Full House. And it's got, like, drawn cards on it. Alright, on IMDb, this episode has an 8.6 out of 10 rating out of 131 ratings. Wow. The episode was directed by Arthur Albert. And written, of course, by the creators Neil Marlins and Carol Black. It was also... It says teleplay by Severt Glarum. I can't even pronounce that. Also Stephen Jenkins. Says story by Robert Cohen. Okay, cool. Alright, I'm gonna start off the episode by reading the opening quote. Narrator, adult Kevin. Genetics, the heartbeat of heredity, the linchpin of the family. Parents supply their children with the same basic building blocks, the same blood types, the same involuntary responses, the same essential gene pool. Despite all this potential for similarity, sometimes things get confused. Sometimes Mother Nature, in all her wry sense of humor, goes off and creates total and complete opposites. Like me and my brother Wayne. It was hard to believe we ever occupied the same womb. Well, not at the same time. The only thing we had in common was our complete and utter contempt for one another. All in all, my brother and I were just two different branches on the family tree. Me, the good branch. Wayne, the dead end. Well, yeah. That's the thing about siblings. Some siblings can seem so alike that you're not surprised they're related, but some, like my sister and I, we are as different in night and day. Like Wayne and Kevin, I think Wayne and Kevin have like a 3-year age gap. My sister and I have a 6-year age gap. So, I think that also she had to kind of watch me a lot, so I think that kind of didn't help the closeness too much. So... she got stuck babysitting me when she could have, like, been going out and hanging out with friends and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think she kind of resents that. But anyway, Yeah, it's just weird that some kids' siblings just, they're so different. Then you're like, how did you two come from the same DNA, the same parents? So we open up the episode with Kevin's narration, which I just read to you. And we, of course, get, is this supposed to be sperm and an egg on a film strip? Like, he's in health class or so? He's got to be in health class or something. So yeah, not only are we seeing the little spermies, we're seeing eggs and womb and blood flowing through someone's veins and a brain and just all of that stuff to kind of go with, you know, what Kevin's saying about how different he and Wayne are, even though they share the same DNA and they come from the same parents. So now we're in the bathroom and Kevin's kind of fiddling with his hair, trying to get it right for school. Wayne, of course, is foaming at the mouth with toothpaste as he shoves Kevin out of the way. The boys still have to share a bathroom, even though they don't share a bedroom anymore. I totally forgot. There is one bathroom for four people. That includes the boys, and it includes Jack and Norma. There is no other bathroom in that house that I can think of. And think about it, when Karen was there, that's five people. And you know teenage girls, they like to spend a lot of the time in the bathroom. But I don't know, I don't think Karen was that type. She wasn't that type. And I'm with Kevin, is he just looking at Wayne in disgust, like, hey, why don't you try getting some toothpaste in your mouth? It's like, yeah, it's like going all over his chin. I'm surprised there's not a big glob of it on his chest there, because the low first button is like so low of his pajama top. And I'm surprised that he doesn't have it all over his pajamas. It's like, ugh. Although Jeremy tends to get after me about, you know, there being big globs of toothpaste in the sink. So I try to, rinse some water to try to get that to go down. Otherwise, I know he's always going to say something. I want to play this clip. It's kind of part of the quote that I had read, but it's just funny about Kevin saying, it's hard to believe that Wayne and I ever shared the same womb.
Womb and complete opposites.
Try to get some toothpaste in your mouth. It might help, blood breath.
Like me and my brother Wayne, it was hard to believe we ever occupied the same womb.
That's disgusting.
Where's the deodorant?
You're not even showered yet.
Well, I'm dry cleaning.
The only thing we had in common was our complete and utter contempt for one another.
You're really gross, you know that?
So? Wayne? How many times do I have to tell you to leave my things alone?
I'm sorry, Dad. It'll never happen again.
All in all, my brother and I were just two different branches on the family tree. Me, the good branch. Wayne, the dead end.
So Wayne's like, hey, where's the deodorant? And Kevin's like, you haven't even showered yet. So Wayne is gonna go to school, sand shower, as he's just running that rollerball deodorant under his pits, which is probably the same damn deodorant that Kevin is running under his pits. That's nasty. Please tell me that Jack does not use, that they all share that one deodorant. That is gross. Get your own deodorant. I'm sure it did not cost that much. It's just, that's nasty. Ew. And it's not like is it a roller ball with like powder on it? Or, I mean, I doubt it's like the gel kind, is it? Because I use the gel kind. I used to use the powder, Secret, they have so many different scents of deodorant, and I usually stick with Secret. They used to have this really good one that I liked. It was like peach or something, but they discontinued it. But the one I really like, and that went away, but it came back, was the vanilla Secret, and it's the gel, and it's awesome. I love, deodorant is so damn expensive. Bit of deodorant costs like over $4. It's fucking highway robbery for deodorant. But it lasts a while because it's not like I gotta share it with anybody. Jeremy's got his own deodorant, so. Which I gotta ask this for the wives out there. Do you get your husband's deodorant and body wash and you kind of choose the scent that you want him to smell like? I do. Oh, definitely. Oh. That way, I mean, it's like they're gonna be showering with it or using it, but it's like I want to choose what you're gonna smell like because that way you're gonna smell great. Not that he wouldn't smell great, but it's like, I like to have a hand in that. So, in the kitchen, it's just after breakfast time. The boys are still at the table. Jack is coming in from outside. You know, they're getting ready to head out for the weekend. There's a wedding. I guess a friend of theirs, Iris, who Norma's like, I can't believe she's finally getting married. So, is this her first wedding? It's gotta be her first wedding if Norma says she's finally getting married. So, was she like an old maid and just hadn't found the right person yet? I don't know. But Jack's kind of concerned with what road to take. He basically, you know, he wants to avoid traffic. I don't know exactly where the wedding is, but it's enough that they're going to be gone the whole weekend. So Kevin lets us know that for the first time ever, their parents are leaving them, Wayne and Kevin, completely alone for the entire weekend. Which, as a teenager, to have that kind of freedom is absolutely, like, so freeing and amazing just to not have that parental unit breathing down your neck and you feel like you have a little bit of leeway to do, you know, what you want. Within reason. So Norma's just kind of giving the boys the rundown on, alright, you'll have a casserole for dinner tonight and then the cold cuts are going to be tomorrow for dinner, so. You know, she's taking care of her boys. She's making sure they're fed and everything like that. She thought ahead. Of course, Jack is all like, all right, boys, I made you a list of chores. I want them completed before I return on Sunday. So it's not going to be all fun and games. They're going to have to do a little bit of chores before they can earn their freedom to hang out. Norma's kind of reminding Wayne, like, hey, when we're gone, please don't leave your towels by the heater. Yeah, you'll set the house on fire. They don't want to come back to a torched foundation in ashes where their house used to stand. Shit! Well, apparently Wayne did last week, according to Jack. He's like, you did last week and look what happened. And Wayne's like, well, I put it out. So yes, he started a fire by leaving a towel by a heater. Like a radiator or something. Like, what the hell? Wayne, that is so fucking dangerous. So she's kind of reminding Jack, like, we gotta get on the road, sweetie. And she's got a giant thermos of, I'm guessing, coffee. Is this place, like, a ways away and maybe they gotta drive the majority of the night? Because I can't really see Jack wanting to spring for a hotel room or motel unless he absolutely has to. So my guess is that's probably coffee in there to, like, keep him awake when he's starting to get tired. Because Lord knows, he's not going to let his wife drive. Like, oh no, not my wife. So as Jack's heading out the door, he reminds them, don't forget the chores. And don't tie up the line all night in case we want to call and check in. And the most important thing, he's like, I do not want a lot of kids over here when we're gone. And of course, Kevin's like, Dad, we're not babies anymore. We can take care of ourselves. And Jack just kind of looks at him like, yeah, whatever. Sure you can. He don't believe that. I'm surprised he doesn't look at Wayne and say, take care of your brother. Keep him out of trouble or something. Of course, Jack just kind of sighs and walks out the door. But Wayne, of course, is like, don't worry, Dad. I'll take care of him. Of course, Jack has to duck his head back in and like, yeah, right. So I want to play this clip.
You got the wedding invitation, Norma?
It's in my beauty case, honey.
Yeah, we should take Route 93 through Hudsonville and avoid the traffic.
I can't believe that Iris is finally getting married.
April 1972. History was being made. For the first time in our lives, our parents were leaving us alone for the weekend. To us, it meant freedom, independence.
Boys, the white casserole did dishes for tonight, and the cold cuts are for Saturday.
And of course, instructions.
Right, Mom.
There's a list of chores on the fridge. I want them done when we get back.
Right, Dad. And Wayne, don't leave your towels by the heater while we're gone.
I won't.
You did last week, and look what happened.
Why put it out?
Wayne!
Honey, we gotta go. Yeah. And you have the number where we'll be.
Right, Mom. Right, Mom.
And don't forget those chores. And don't tie up the line in case we want to call you. And I don't want a lot of kids over here while we're gone this weekend. You got that?
Well, we're not babies anymore, but you take care of ourselves.
Well, in a manner of speaking, anyway.
Don't worry, Dad. I'll look after him.
Not that as loyal, loving children, we weren't going to miss our parents.
Dad?
Yeah. You gonna give us any money?
No, oh, yeah, that's right.
Here's a 20. It's the smallest I got. Split it.
Thanks.
Are you sure you two boys are gonna be all right?
Yeah, Mom. Have a good time.
Yeah, don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Bye!
And with that...
Don't be late for school!
My parents were gone. Leaving us to defend the Arnold family fortress.
Yeah. Well, I'm out of here.
Wait a minute. You're going to school early?
No. There's no school today. It's a holiday. It's National Parents Go Away Day. Ta-ta, scrote.
So much for defending the old fortress.
Hey! Hey, what about my money? Wayne, you owe me $10.
Oh. Fresh out of change.
Wayne...
Sorry, it'll never happen again. Don't wait up for me, honey.
And suddenly, for the first time in my life, I found myself completely alone, with one empty house, 2 days to myself, and nothing to do but...
So Jack's throwing, the stuff in the trunk, and they're getting ready to get into the car as Kevin and Wayne come out, and of course Wayne's like, Dad, aren't you gonna give us a little money? I mean, yeah, Norma made sure they had food and stuff, because it's Friday morning, so they're gonna be having to get their asses to school, but Norma and Jack won't be back probably till like sometime late afternoon Sunday, so Jack's like, well, the smallest thing I have is a 20, so I'll split it between the two of you. And, yep, they are pretty much on their way as Norma's like, well, you boys gotta get to school. So, they pull out of the driveway, they leave, and Wayne says, oh, there's no school today. It's National Parents Go Out of Town Day, so bye. Yeah. And Kevin's like, well, Wayne, you owe me $10. And Wayne's, like, patting his pockets, like, sorry, I ain't got no change on me. And he's like, Wayne, like, half of that money is mine. Like, come on, Kevin, he's pulled that shit before with you. You think he's gonna give you half of that $20? No. And if you think about it, it's 1972. $20 went quite a ways in 1972. Oh, I love the little remark Wayne says to his parents, like, don't do anything I wouldn't do. And Norma kind of is like, oh, son, you're silly. And Jack just kind of looks at him with gives it like an irritated glare, like, son, you're an idiot. Goodbye. I'm not going to miss you at all this weekend. So, yeah, Wayne takes off. Kevin's just kind of standing there. You know, he's just, for some ever actually been alone. Because I don't think he's ever had a real moment of being alone in that house by himself, no one there. So, you know how Jack said, I don't want a lot of kids around in the house while we're not here, while we're gone. Well, Chuck is like, hey, let's have a party. It's like, yeah, Jack kind of vetoed that. I mean, you can't have a party there and not have them find out about it. There is no damn way. I still cannot get over the fact how Kevin and Wayne are practically the same height now. It just feels like Kevin and Wayne are like a year apart instead of being like 3 years apart. When in season one, Wayne pretty much towered over Kevin at least maybe 3 to 5 inches taller than him at one point. So it just, it's funny.
No, let's have a party.
Head directly for trouble.
Come on, guys. My parents said they didn't want a lot of people in.
What people? It's just us guys.
We just thought, since you have a whole house to yourself, you might want to take advantage of it.
What are we going to do in my house?
Everything.
Hang out?
Stuff our faces? Order pizza?
Stupid question.
Maybe we could get some beer.
Yeah. We could drink till our heads hurt.
Come on, Kev. It'll be great. Hell no.
After all, certain rules have been set, and nothing could be said to make me break them.
Look, guys, if Kevin's parents said not to have anyone in the house, then he shouldn't have anyone in the house. Period.
Nothing except that.
Say that, Paul.
Great. So are we having a party or not?
Yeah, well, maybe we could do something. Play poker. But just us guys.
All right.
Like I said, well, I could handle this. I was the responsible son, not like...
Well, speak of the devil, look who's back! It's Randy! Oh, but Chuck, unfortunately, is still here. Like, oh, man. But it's Randy, which is awesome. He's an okay character. Chuck's the one who suggests, hey, let's have a party. Paul jumps right in, like, saying, hey, Kevin's parents did not want people over. They didn't want a party of any kind. If they say no one should come over, then no one should come over, period. I like Paul. He's being the responsible one. He's just, you know, he's trying to help Kevin, protect him from getting into trouble. Good Paul. Kevin says, hey, maybe we can have, you know, like a poker game or something, but it's got to be just us guys. Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. So, it's later that night, Friday night, and Kevin's kind of making a list, probably of, like, snacks and whatnot to get for the poker game. And Wayne, of course, is helping himself to drinking the orange juice out of the carton.
My brother. The slug.
Nice to get out of bed, butthead.
Shut up, troll. Besides, what's the hurry?
Well, for one thing, it's 11 o'clock.
What? Well, you have a plane to catch?
No, but Dad did leave some chores for us to do.
No. Wax Wayne's car.
That's not on the list, Nimrod.
It is now. There you go.
Wayne, we have to get this stuff done.
Sorry, I made other plans.
Well, I made other plans too, you know.
Like what?
Well, I'm having a party here tonight.
You're having a party? What are you going to do, rent a pony?
No. Just some of the guys are coming over to play poker.
It's not a party. That's a butthead convention.
Hold on here.
Hey, what are you doing tonight that's so great?
Well, it just so happens there's a guy from North Central who's having a beer blast, so don't leave the light on for me.
Fine. I won't.
Hey, what did I care? After all, I was going to have a pretty wild time of my own.
So, my bad, I was wrong. It was not later that Friday night. It's Saturday morning, and it's around 11 a.m. As Kevin's like, oh, it's nice for you to finally have woken up, Wayne, since it's like 11 in the damn morning. You missed breakfast, which I guess Wayne's breakfast is like chugging orange juice from the carton. And Wayne's all like, well, what's your big deal about it? So what? I slept until 11. And Kevin's like, well, we do have these chores we got to take care of. So that are supposed to get done. And Wayne grabs the list from Kevin like, oh, wax Wayne's car. And Kevin's like, that's not on there. So Wayne writes it on there himself. Like, and Wayne is saying, hey, I'm not going to be home tonight. Some college somewhere is having a beer pong party or some shit. So he's like, don't leave the light on for me. Remember those radio jingles for Motel 6 saying, we'll leave the light on for you? I would always think that it was like some little like wooden cottage that would like have that little light out front or something. That would be pictured in my head what Motel 6 was until I saw what it actually was. I was like, So Wayne's like, well, what's so great that you got going on tonight? And Kevin's like, I got guys coming over. I'm going to play poker. And Wayne's like, that is nothing. That's not a poker game. That's a butthead convention. Which I had to smirk at that. Like, Wayne, he does get some good ones in. So, yeah, this is a rip-roaring fun poker game. Wow. Someone's like, this is boring. Whose turn is it? And someone's like, where's the pizza? They probably polished that off a while ago. I'm kind of curious to see who is the one that called other people to come over.
Whose bed is it?
I don't know. Is there any more pizza?
Assuming your idea of a wild time was an evening of never-ending boredom.
Mickey, come on, will ya?
Don't watch me, I'm thinking.
I fold. After all that, you fold?
I wasn't sure.
I don't believe this. I'll raise. I'll see you.
Randy, watch it, will you? This is my dad's good card table.
Yes, Mrs. Arnold.
You'll never be able to see it once it dries.
This is the worst party I've ever been to.
You said it.
The thing was, they were right. We had hit rock bottom.
Look, this was your idea in the first place. If you guys know so much about having a great time, well, what are you going to do about it?
We can invite some girls.
Okay, possibly a mistake here.
Are you kidding? It's 7:30 on a Saturday night. How are we going to get girls?
Uh-huh. Well, I know it's late, but... Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. His parents are out of town.
The first rule of sophomore boys. If it's female, call it. If it answers, invite it.
Chuck. Chuck. I'm in your bio class. No, not Chuck Thorson. Chuck Coleman. But, Chuck Thorson will be there. Great. See ya.
What'd she say?
She's coming.
Yeah, great.
Cool.
And she's bringing her sister.
Hold the phone.
What?
A party was one thing. A full-scale orgy was something else.
Chuck, wait a minute. I thought I said one girl each.
What was I supposed to do? Tell her she couldn't come?
Yeah, give him a break.
Okay. But from now on, just one per guy, okay?
And from such tiny concessions...
My turn.
...do full-scale catastrophes grow.
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hi, Alice.
Not that it started out so badly.
Eddie, Eddie's his endeavor and her best friend Carolyn. I needed a ride. Is that okay with you?
Well, hey, no. Yeah, more the merrier. Come on in.
Really?
Yeah, sure. Just make yourselves at home.
What's the matter, Kev?
Randy, I said a couple of people. Now I got brothers and cousins and friends.
Come on, Kev. You gonna relax and have a good time or not?
Well, okay.
After all, how much worse could things get?
Hey, man. Is there a party here?
Yeah, come on in.
A lot worse.
So the guys are playing poker, and Ricky folds. He's taking, like, a fucking lifetime to make a decision. And Randy's like, after all that time, you decide to fold. And, of course, in Ricky's case, he's like, I got confused or something like that. And Randy ends up, Paul throws in some chips. Randy goes to throw in some of his chips. He tips his drink over, which is basically just popping a glass. Kevin's freaking out. He's like, this is my dad's new card table. What the fuck? Watch your hands. Stop being a clumsy oaf. And Randy's like, chill. Kev, okay? It'll dry. No one will notice. If that's pop, it's gonna be sticky as hell. It's gonna leave a residue. It's gonna leave a stain. They didn't have things like the shout stick or the tide stick or the whatever. They didn't have that shit in 1972. So, oh my god, if that was brand new, I don't even know how much those things cost. Probably they weren't cheap. Although now that I think about it, How many friends does Jack have that he could call over for a game of poker? You never see anyone over there to talk to him. I mean, hell, he's not even in the mood to talk to his wife and kids when he comes home from work. Why the hell would he want to talk to his friends if he has them? I don't know. So the boys kind of figure, hey, this sucks. Let's invite some girls over. Then they're in the kitchen. Chuck's on the phone. And he's trying to get this one girl who doesn't even know who the fuck he is. He's like, it's Chuck. It's Chuck. And she's like, oh, Chuck so-and-so. And he's like, no, Chuck. Chuck Coleman. And he's like, but the other Chuck will be here. It's like, great, make a promise you don't intend to keep. Apparently she's got a sister that Chuck says, hey, you can bring her. Kevin freaks out, like, I said one girl per guy. So Ricky gets on the phone, and we don't see that conversation. We hear the doorbell, and it's that damn girl, Alice. Oh my god, how often do we gotta see this girl? And she brought a shit ton of people. Brothers, cousins, girlfriends or boyfriends of cousins. So many people. And then while Ricky's like, oh yeah, hey, come on, the more the merrier. It's like, Ricky, it's not your house. Kevin gave you strict orders. This is gonna fall apart. Of course, as Kevin's getting ready to shut the door, some stoner-looking dudes with long, greasy hair and leather jackets all come on, like, hey, there a party here? Huh? Can we come in? Like, what the fuck ever. And Randy kind of comes up to Kevin, like, Kev, you okay? It's like, no, he's not okay. This is starting to get the fuck out of hand. And then, before Kevin closes the door, we hear something break. That's great. If something breaks, how are you going to hide that from your parents? You're not. So now we got people knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell, that look college age, probably even grown adults. Like, oh, there's a party here. What? So they must have just stumbled into the neighborhood, saw the lights were on, and the music was blaring from the house, and thought, hey, someone's having a party. Let's crash it. So mostly these are all party crashers. So a pretty girl answers when Kevin opens the door, like, ooh, there's a nice surprise. Then, of course, we got some boys, jocks from the basketball team that probably don't even know Kevin's alive. Because when he opens the door, one of them's trying to do, he's got a Harlem Globetrotters ball, like, spinning from his finger. And we got some hippies, kind of with the dreadlocks and stuff. One of them throws the peace sign to Kevin, he's walks through the door, and I'm just like, and he's like, I'm thinking, I've never seen these people. Why are you letting them into your house? You've never seen them before. They could go and kill everybody in that house. And you would then be held responsible since you let them in. So we get to see the inside of the Arnold house, and there are people all over the damn place. I noticed that the lampshade is not askew, where it's hitting the curtain. Yeah, that's a fire waiting to happen. Also, I think there's like a smoke cloud in there. So we got people like smoking, probably not just cigarettes, probably weed. You're not going to get that smell out of the house. Good luck. And Paul's out. Oh, Kev, this is a great party. Kevin is freaking the fuck out right now. He's freaking the fuck out. I would be too. And some girl comes up to like, oh, nice house, Kenny. And he's like, it's Kevin. So I guess Kevin was gonna go to the basement for refuge, but apparently we got a shit ton of people down there too. And Kevin is noticing that there's like a glass on the wooden panel there underneath the, where it says bar on the wall that's lit up and everything. And it's just, you know, Kevin doesn't want there to be like a water stain or something like that. So, Kevin, this is, there's no way in hell you're going to hide this from your parents. No way. So the guy says, oh, sure, here, you can hold this glass of, like, crushed pop or whatever. Orange crush. And some guy walks past Kevin and drops a cigarette butt in, like, oh, here's an ashtray. Boink. And Kevin just standing there, like, yeah, he must not be the greatest hostess, but, you know, He's panicking. Now we get to the kitchen. Some guy's helping himself. Of course they're going to help themselves to the fridge. This guy's like, look what I found. It's a casserole. It's not for you. At least Kevin sees this and says, get the hell out of my fridge. Get out of my fridge. That's not for you. So Kevin, of course, is like, will you get out of there? And the guy, he was kneeling at the time, closes the fridge, stands up. He's a good head taller than Kevin. It's like, dude, you are in his house. You better not be picking a fight with him. So the guy's looking at Kevin, kind of staring him down like, who are you? And Kevin's like, I'm Kevin Arnold. And he's like, well, who are you? And he's like, I'm a friend of Betsy Arnold, or Betsy something or other. And I'm thinking, who the fuck is that? I don't know that person. Oh my god. He's probably got kids from other schools that have shown up. And now we got some dude in a flannel shirt that's actually standing next to the jock in the gray t-shirt that was saying he was a friend of Betsy's or whatever. Now the phone's ringing. Gee, I wonder who that is. Probably dad or mom. Wondering how things are going. I'm surprised someone's not, like, tying up the line. I gotta play this clip. This is hilarious. As the phone's ringing, Kevin's like, shut up, everyone! I think it's my parents! And all of a sudden, music stops. Everyone shuts the hell up. And it is so quiet, you could hear a pin drop.
It was at reach rock bottom. They went into negative numbers.
Well, shut up, everyone! I think it's my parents!
No, it's not his parents. It's Chuck. And as soon as Kevin says it, Chuck, where are you? The music starts up and everyone just starts talking again. Apparently, Chuck left his damn wallet at home. And Kevin's got to come, like, bail him out because, you know, Chuck wants to get beer and everything. He's like, you're not 21. You cannot drink. You sure as hell cannot buy beer. Wait, maybe it was 18 in 1972. I'm not sure. So Kevin's like, why did you leave it on the dresser? And Chuck's like, because I took it down when I was talking to those two girls. And my ass look lumpy. Like, that's where guys keep their wallet, in their back pocket. And I doubt any time they're talking to a girl, they're worried about their ass looking lumpy. Like they got fucking cellulite in their ass. Girls I can understand, but guys are actually self-conscious about their butts? I don't know. Maybe they are. There's nothing wrong. There's no shame in that. A butt's a butt. You poop out of it. So, Kevin's like, let's just hurry up, okay? And Chuck's got a little basket. He's got potato chips. One bag of potato chips for a house full of people. Yeah, right. And it's funny because when Kevin says, come on, hurry up, Chuck's at the register with that basket of stuff. And this guy, big guy who's, I think he's sitting on a, is he sitting on a stool just at the register waiting for Chuck to, almost like he's just sitting there like, I got nowhere else to be. Take your time, son. So now Chuck is going to pull one item out at a time and say the item as he sets it on the counter. I want to play this because this is freaking nuts. This guy is looking at him like, are you serious right now? Really? You don't think I know what you're doing? Yeah.
Got candy? Potato chips, pretzels, crackers.
That'd be 264.
And, we'll also take, we'll take this. Chuck, don't worry, Kev, I'll pay for it.
You got an ID for that?
Sure.
Richard Piedmont?
Well, it's, yeah, it's Chuck, for short.
27?
My mother smoked.
What year were you born?
April 22nd, 1945. I live at 303 Grant Street. I weigh 166 pounds. I have blue eyes, and I'm nearsighted.
Oh. How did he know? Maybe you don't look nearsighted, Chuck.
You know, next time I'm gonna squint.
Look, Chuck, let's just get out of here, okay?
Jeez, Kev, you're a little testy tonight, you know that?
Testy. I was fed up.
Look, Chuck, I've had it. This whole thing has gotten completely out of control. As a matter of fact, the minute I get home, everyone's out of there, okay?
And that was that. Case closed.
Look! Beer! A whole keg!
Yeah, we're going to a great party. You guys need a lift?
No. Where is it?
It's about 10 blocks from here. Some kid named, Arnold.
So, he's got candy, bag of chips, bag of pretzels. Yeah, that's going to suffice for a house full of people. If they're all taking one, and even that would not be enough. One chip per person, one pretzel per person. And then he's like, oh, here, let me, as he pulls it up from the floor, this six-pack of bottles of beer. His hands are shaking like you can hear the bottles clinking around in there. And the guy is just kind of eyeing him like, huh, yeah. So he's like, hey, you got ID? And of course, Chuck pulls it out. It's not a photo ID. It's an ID ID. Well, wait a minute. I thought he said he took it out of his pocket when he's talking to those girls. How does he have it there? But the guy is just looking at him like, can you tell me your birthday? And he's like, yeah, I was born and blah, blah, blah. Because he's like, you're 27. And Kevin, as soon as Chuck picks up the beer, Kevin's like, Chuck? And I guess the guy said, oh, your name is Richard Peabody or something like that. And Chuck's like, yeah, they call me Chuck for short. Chuck and Richard don't go together. If his name was Charles, but he still does not look 27 years old. I mean, maybe the actor might have been like 23 or 25, but no way in hell is he pulling that off. And he says, and then Chuck starts reciting all this stuff. What year were you born? Okay, blah, blah, blah. And then he starts reciting like his address and... which isn't his address, or maybe, I don't know, and then he says, I have blue eyes and I'm nearsighted. One, you don't wear glasses. Two, looking at his face, he doesn't have blue eyes. He's got, like, brown or some shit. If you're nearsighted, you're gonna be wearing glasses. So, the guy just literally laughs in his face, which is... I'm not surprised. And he's like, oh, next time I'm gonna squint. Like, no. Just no. No one's gonna sell you beer. You're too stupid to look like you're 21. Or to pass for 27. I'm sorry, I don't like him. I rather would keep Randy and get rid of him. I like Ricky more than I like Chuck. How about that? So as Chuck and Kevin come outside... Chuck's kind of rolling his eyes at Kevin, who's throwing a fit. Like, I need to get back to my house because my house has got a shit ton of people. Kev, it's cool, okay? Paul is there. He will try to keep things under control. Maybe. I don't know. You know, for someone who's like, no, his parents don't want anyone there. Kev, this is a great party. It's funny how he turns, like, on a dime. Like, he don't fucking care. I don't know. Your house could be burned to the ground and shambles and raided. You won't have a television. Your food will all be out of your fridge. But anyway, you know, Kevin's like, that's it. When I get home, the party is gone. People are going to get the hell out of my house. And Chuck's all rolling his eyes. Like, dude, if that were your house and you had a shit ton of people and it got out of hand, you'd probably be reacting the same damn way. He'd probably pass out from shaking too much. So, Chuck sees a keg of beer in someone's backseat convertible there. And this long-haired guy, he looks familiar. I'm going to look him up. He probably might not be someone that's been in anything. I know he may not even be familiar, but he looks it, this guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm taking it to a party. Oh, like 10 blocks over, this house party. Like, yeah, Kevin, he's talking. Kevin, of course, knows he's talking about his house. And then we hear the cops. Great. Well, I haven't found the other guy yet, but I'm still looking. But as I was looking for him, I found this guy named Eric Broskotter, who played the jock who was, like, eyeing the casserole. And I'm like, oh, he could have been familiar. Well, he will be in The Thief, Heather's episode of Mr. Belvedere of Season 3. He'll play jock number one. Oh, he played Big John. Was that the guy that was, like, farting all the time in the movie Can't Buy Me Love? I bet it was. Oh, he was two episodes of Wonder Years. Oh, he's in the Season 5 finale, Broken Hearts and Burgers. So, he plays a bully. That's great. Or wait, no, he must play a bully in this episode and then a football player in the last one, right? Belligerent guy, one episode of Beverly Hills 90210. Hold on, I said it. Let me pause this. But where I know him from, and if you guys watch Glee in season 3, you'd know him as Cooter Menkins, who marries, how do you say, it's Beast, Coach Beast, who took over for, coach, from season 1 of Glee, Coach something or other, what the fuck is his name? Coach something. Coach Tanaka, that's what it was. Alright, hold on, I'm looking for the other guy. Okay, I thought the guy looked familiar. I never really watched a lot of Melrose Place, but this guy looked familiar as hell. He played Billy Campbell. I'm like, that face. It was the face that I recognized. I'm like, who is that guy? It's not Matthew Fox from Lost in Party of Five, because I know that. This guy's got blonde hair, or brown hair, or sandy-colored hair. But all right, let's get back to the episode. Oh, the guy's got dark hair. It's just dark outside, so you can barely see. But yeah, the guy's clearly drunk off his ass and stoned at the same time. Like, dude, you're gonna get in a car and drive. You're gonna kill yourself or somebody else. He's like, I mean, I know it's the 70s. Y'all didn't talk like you were stoned off your ass. Yeah, that's that guy, Billy. So, Chuck and Kevin hightail it back to the house. It's like, yeah, you're going to want to get your butts back there. Oh, my God. There are people, there are cars parked on the lawn, like at least three of them. And there's a shit ton of people on the lawn itself, too, along with the parked cars. Oh, you are not going to be able to get those grooves out of the grass. Those tire grooves. I want to apologize. There's someone revving their motorcycle or whatever. Hopefully they'll, like, get the hell out of the area. I think it's, like, right next door. And Quinny is, like, up on her feet, propped against the windowsill looking out. Like, yeah, she hears it. It's just something she's got to deal with. By the October, when it comes around, people aren't going to be riding their motorcycles nearly as much. I mean, nothing against motorcycles, but it's just, they're really loud when they're near here. So, Kevin sees all this stuff going down, people coming and going from his house. I don't even know if this is something that was in his head or actually on the radio, but some DJ saying, oh, and this next song goes out to all the people partying at Kevin Arnold's house. Oh, I don't know. That could have been in his head, or that could have been the DJ on the radio. Kevin gets in the house finally after trying to get through the doorway with someone's hat, got a keg right in the middle of the doorway. And we got people splashing beer at each other. The air is really thick with smoke, cigarette, marijuana smoke, what have you. Got people making out on the couch. There's like so many bodies and not enough room to move, let alone breathe. And we get a shot of the keg. Someone's cup is overflowing, and we got beer overflowing the top of the keg. Of course, it's going to go onto the carpet. Or the linoleum if they're in the kitchen. I think this is all taking place in, like, the living room. We also get a shot of the record player. Someone spilled chips all over the record as it's still spinning, playing on the turntable. Hey, we get to see a mushroom cloud as Kevin sees that there's no way he's going to come back from this party. They will have to burn that house to the ground or sell it or rip all the carpet up and the linoleum and just... No, they're going to have to just burn that house to the ground and, like, rebuild. You're not going to get that smell out of there. You're not going to get the cigarette smell out of there. That'll be in the walls for years. Where's Buster? We have not seen him since season 4. I miss him. I bet if Buster were there, someone would have tried to feed him get him to drink beer or smoke a doobie or a cigarette or something. Okay, now we get to see the next day. Holy fuck. You're going to rip out that carpet because you are not getting all those chips. And all that stuff. That couch is probably destroyed and stained. I don't even want to know what the, Oh my gosh! What if some couple or threesome was going on in Norma and Jack's room? Because Kevin doesn't know what was going on in his bedroom, the bathroom, or Jack and Norma's room, Wayne's room. Ugh. I want to play this clip.
6 a.m. when the last guest left. After 3 hours of cleaning, I barely scratched the surface. It was like trying to straighten up after Woodstock. Still, it wasn't the cigarette burns or the carpet stains that worried me most.
Hey, Butthead, you home? Oh my god. What happened?
Just got home at like 9 a.m. because Kevin said the last guest left at like 6 in the morning. And Kevin had been cleaning, barely even coming close to making a dent in the work that he's got to do. I'm sure none of the guys want to stay over like Paul and like, hey, let me help give you a hand. It'll take us about a whole 24 hours to get this place even close to looking like what it did before. Maybe. Yeah, but no, they didn't stick around. And Wayne is just getting home at 9 a.m., so he clearly stayed out all night, probably slept with a girl or something, but... So Wayne comes in the door, calling out to Kevin, like, hey, butthead, you home? Comes into the living room. Holy shit. He's like, what happened? I'm surprised he didn't say, I'm like, and I thought I was at a party. Man! And he's got no words to really... No advice to give Kevin. It's just like, you know what? This is your problem. I'm not going to help you. I mean, Kevin is delirious if he thinks Wayne is even going to offer any type of hand to help out. And even if... Because originally, I guess, Jack and Norma weren't due back until 4 in the afternoon. But, of course, they pull right up and Kevin and Wayne come out. And Wayne is kind of saying to Kevin, it's like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this. This is good for you to be able to, like, get your ass reamed for once in a while, for once in your life, to get in trouble. So, yep, Jack and Norma pull up. They're like, oh, it's good to be home. And Jack's like, you know what? You boys can get the bags. And as soon as, like, oh, it's good to be home. Yeah, you're going to. I'm surprised we don't hear screaming and shouting coming from the... We might. Let's see.
Maybe they won't notice.
The thing is, I was prepared for the yelling, the screaming, the gnashing of teeth. But what I wasn't prepared for was... silence.
What happened?
Well, maybe this was justice. A payback for all the times I'd laughed at Wayne when he got in trouble.
I don't believe this.
In any case, there was no way out.
Dad, I know you're angry. And you have every right to be, because...
Kevin, you stay out of this.
What?
Wayne? How could you do something like this?
What? No. Dad...
Wayne, I want an answer. I want an answer now.
He should have told. It was the moment he'd been waiting for his whole life.
I'm sorry. It'll never happen again.
But he didn't. I'm not sure why he didn't. Maybe he saw it was futile to try and explain. Maybe he knew how much harder my parents would be on me than on him. Or maybe he forgot, thought he really did it.
We'll talk about this later, Wayne. Right now, start cleaning this mess up.
Just maybe, for that one afternoon,
Wayne,
my brother saw in me a little bit of himself.
You know, you really are a butthead.
Growing up brothers is kind of a mixed bag. Strangers, warriors, enemies, idiots, friends. One day you fight to the death. The next, you lay down your lives for each other. never did say thanks to Wayne for what he did. But I washed his Corvair. Waxed it, too. I figured, hey, any guy who'd do a thing like that deserved a shiny car.
So, Kevin gets in there, into the house, and Norma and Jack are there, and they're not saying anything right away. They're just looking at the mess and everything. And Norma is actually the first to speak up. Like, what happened here? And Kevin, you know, Wayne's just kind of looking at Kevin like, this is your mess, not mine. And Kevin goes to like, I know you're angry. Jack does not even look at Kevin. His eyes are squarely set on Wayne. It's like, Wayne, how could you have done something so stupid? And Wayne is just, he's floored. He's like, wait, what? And, you know, Kevin's trying to say, like, no, it wasn't. And Jack's not letting him talk. He's like, Kevin, you stay out of this. Wayne, I don't even want to look at you. Just get this mess cleaned up. We'll talk about this later. And Kevin's just looking at Wayne like Wayne had the opportunity to, you know, rat Kevin out. And the thing is, it's kind of fun. Well, they expect that shit from Wayne. They don't necessarily expect it from Kevin. And Kevin even thinks, like, they could have been a lot harder on Kevin. But I don't... Would they have? All Jack really says is, get this place cleaned up and we'll talk about this later. So, yeah. And all after Norma and Jack walk out of the room, Wayne just looks at Kevin. I thought he was gonna, like, hit Kevin or, you know, they'd get into a shoving match. But he just kind of smirks at Kevin, like, you know, I can't believe you. But he's like, you really are a butthead, aren't you? And he just kind of smirks at it, like, ah, well, brother. And so he starts getting, you know, Wayne starts, you know, spraying the disinfectant and everything like that. And I'm just thinking, and he's picking up chips and everything. It's like, how would you even start on that room? I honestly would probably, I would definitely, that floor's not just going to have to be vacuumed, it's going to have to be steam cleaned. Not to mention the kitchen. I don't know if Kevin started in the living room. There's the kitchen. The basement. Maybe the bathroom. The bedrooms. Did he even look in his mom and dad's room? That's what I'd be really concerned about, is his parents' room. Because Kevin was away for probably, what, maybe a half hour to go pick up Chuck? Depending on how far away the gas station or the convenience store was. So who the hell knows what could have happened in that amount of time? And there are people making out on the couch. They would have had no qualms about making out in someone's bed that isn't theirs. But, you know, we see Wayne kind of lugging around these black garbage bags full of, you know, stuff from the party and everything like that. And Kevin just kind of, you know, he's washing and waxing Wayne's car, which, you know, Wayne deserves after, you know, taking the rap for the party and everything like that. I mean, even if Kevin would have said, no, it's not Wayne, it's me. I don't think, would Jack even have believed him? I don't, maybe. He just had a sight squarely, like, shooting daggers at Wayne. Because Wayne, he expects that from him. He does not expect... Because Kevin... I don't think Kevin's really the party type. I mean, as far as one to throw a party. He'll go to a party. He'll have his best friend set up a party for him. Oh, fuck, hold on. Anyone else getting tired of getting fucking phone calls from where the... Oh, hold on. Pam's calling me. Sorry about that rant, guys. I'm getting tired of these damn phone calls from out of the state. And it's all the damn time. And half the time, it's like an automated thing. It's like, leave me the fuck alone. So I'll just go and block them and stuff. But I'm sure, I mean, Oh, it's so damned annoying. Well, especially when I'm recording a podcast. So, anyway, that's the end of the episode. As far as for my Flower Power episode rating, I'm gonna give this a 3 out of 5. I didn't really care for Chuck. Didn't like him. He's being a dick, especially when Kevin was ranting about, you know, this party getting out of hand, and Chuck's just there rolling his eyes like, oh, Kev, you need to, like, chill out and this and that. It's like, dude, it's not your house that this is happening to. You're the one that invited a shit ton of people. You, Ricky, Randy, I don't know about Paul. I don't know. But, the other thing I didn't really care for was, I didn't like the guy going through the damn fridge and checking out the casserole, but what I didn't like was the fact that he had the gall to, when he shut the door, he stood up to his full height and just stared Kevin down. It's like, dude, that is not your house, that is his house, you show respect. But the things that I really like, I did like Paul kind of standing up for, like, when they're all sitting around the lunch table, and he's like, hey, you know, Kevin's parents don't want people there, you know, then that's that, although he does kind of do a, like, 360 when he's like, hey, this is a great party. The other thing I liked when Wayne did take the rap for Kevin. And I also liked the fact that Kevin waxed and washed Wayne's car for him. So I like that. And I want to say this ending quote. You heard it in the clip, but I really liked it. Narrator. The thing is, I was prepared for the yelling, screaming, the gnashing of teeth. But what I wasn't prepared for was the complete and utter silence. Well, maybe this was justice. A payback for all the times I'd laughed at Wayne when he got in trouble. In any case, there was no way out. Of course, he should have told. It was a moment he had been waiting for his whole life. But he didn't. I'm not sure why he didn't. Maybe he saw it was futile to try to explain. Maybe he knew how much harder my parents would be on me than on him. They would? Or maybe he forgot and thought he really did it. Or just maybe, for that one afternoon, my brother saw in me a little bit of himself. Growing up, brothers is kind of a mixed bag. Strangers, warriors, enemies, idiots, friends. One day you fight to the death, the next you'd lay down your lives for each other. I never did say thanks to Wayne for what he did, but I washed his covair and waxed it too. I figured, hey, any guy who did that deserved a shiny car. I really liked that clip. All right, let's talk about tomorrow's episode, season 5, episode 21, entitled Stormy Weather, which aired on April 22nd, 1992. The episode where Karen comes back. When Karen has a fight with Michael, she comes back home in the middle of the night to stay with the family. Really. The next day, Kevin, his dad, and Wayne drive to Michael's house to move her stuff out, prompting Michael to follow them home in hopes of trying to reconcile with Karen. Alright. Alright, let's give a nice warm welcome to some Wonderling listeners for the week. We have Mississauga, Canada. I'm sorry if I mispronounce these. We have Grand Falls, Canada. Dublin, Ireland. Aston, Pennsylvania. Winnipeg, Canada. Lansdale, Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Seattle, Washington, North Wales, Pennsylvania, India, Claymont, Delaware, Rutherford, New Jersey, Gloucester, United Kingdom, Mountain View, California, Ambridge, Pennsylvania, Clifton, New Jersey, Redlands, California, Australia, Pennsylvania, Miami, Florida, Coventry, United Kingdom. St. Petersburg, Florida. Flushing, New York. Discovery Bay, California. Pakistan. Hunters Hill, Australia. Maynard, Massachusetts. Jersey City, New Jersey. North Kingstown, Rhode Island. Bangalore, India. Reading, California. Mineral, Virginia. Brisbane, Australia. Delhi, India. Phoenix, Arizona. De Pere, Wisconsin. Mexico, Mexico. Graysonville, Maryland. Bakersfield, California. New Delhi, India. Lumberton, New Jersey. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Pakistan. Pennsauken, New Jersey. Wentzville, Missouri. Moscow, Russia. Gandnerville, Nevada. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Oh, my wonderling words of wisdom, of course. If your parents are away, do not throw a party at your house. Trust me. I've never thrown a party in my life, so I can't speak to that. But I can imagine shit's going to hit the fan. Your ass is going to get creamed. Don't do it. Save yourself the headache, the trouble. The fact that the cops could get called, your parents could be fined if kids are drinking and they're underage. Not good. So, all right, everyone, I'll be back tomorrow with stormy weather. So, have a great Friday evening. All right, bye-bye.